And we are back to wrap up our final top five stories of 2023. And as I mentioned earlier, lots of things made some big time headline news. A couple of things were things that happened so early in the year that you almost forget that they happened in 2023. This number five top story is one of those. And it's been almost impossible to forget the Norfolk Southern train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, which of course caused an environmental disaster. And now the ripple effects caused some really tough scrutiny on the safety of the American freight railroad. Anthony, this has led to now some bills being drafted in Congress that haven't made a lot of progress, but it's something that has turned a very, very scrutinizing eye to the American railroad. How do you think that the railroads have fared so far with all of this now increased scrutiny?
It seems like something that has, I mean, they've progressed from, and like you said, is one of those things that's happened early on in the year that you almost forgot about. But one of the other big things is that derailments aren't that uncommon. They happen so often, and just so happened that this one made the news because of what it was carrying.
Absolutely, and that was something that I think that the community in East Palestine is still continuing to recover from. It's going to be interesting to see what Congress does going forward from a safety standpoint, especially as, you know, the presidential election is looming in 2024. They've got a lot of things on their plate to handle next year, so we'll see if that kind of falls by the wayside. Moving on into number four, freight recession was the year, or the word of the year, I would almost say, and it's lasted pretty long into 2023. When we sat here in 2022 and we talked about a recovery, a lot of folks were saying, okay, you know, we're thinking maybe the start of Q2. And then the estimates were, okay, we're going to see like a pull forward peak season. And then it was like, ah, you know what? Maybe October, November is going to bring us some relief. And now we're still here in the end of the year. We still have some pretty big depressed rates. We're still saying we need a lot of capacity to exit the market before we start to see a substantial recovery. What do you think about this general freight recession and how long it's lasted?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you mentioned, at the beginning of the year, there were a lot of expectations that the second half is going to be so much stronger and so much better. And there's some instances where, you know what, you're not too far off if you're talking about straight up volumes. But in terms of rates, that hasn't happened. We're starting to see that there's definitely substantial volumes moving throughout the corridors here, throughout different lanes, but those rates still remain depressed. And as you mentioned earlier, a lot of capacity just remains that still needs to bleed off.
So a lot of people were holding on to the hope that there was going to be a rate rebound almost. What do you think is still that driving factor that's keeping them so low?
I think, of course, just so much capacity on the road. We just saw so many entrants into the market throughout COVID. Money was just so easy to come by. And so now you see that this is just a different environment. It's just been such a slow bleed off. And so I think one of the big things is that everyone knows that this is a cyclical market. Everyone understands that the pendulum's going to swing. So I think there's just so many people that are just looking to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be one of the ones that are going to make it on the other side of this thing. So I think a lot of individuals, a lot of operations are just looking to make it to the other side.
I'm going to ask you to pull out your crystal ball, your tarot cards, your fortune-telling tools of choice. Does it take a massive, I'm going to call it a mass extinction event. Does it take a massive mass extinction event before we see a true flip in the market? Or do we just have to wait it out?
Definitely. So I would usually leave one of these to Zach Strickland, but I definitely think that a black swan event definitely would prop things back into some sort of unfortunate balance. But I think that what's more likely, of course, we have Rachel Premack's amazing article about how we never really changed a whole lot and that there's still a potential concerns and the underlying trends here that are in the supply chain. But I do think one of the big things that has to change would definitely be capacity. One of the big things that could bleed it off could be that the conditions just continue to persist and really hit people's financials. But I definitely think that we would see that there's going to be just a slow bleed off overall in the supply chain.
The freight recession is real. The recession still yet to fully materialize and smack the American public in the face. Let's move on to number three for us. We talked about labor in stories number 10 through number six, but the Teamsters, not the only folks that had some big wins. Of course, we saw some big time wins from the ILWU, the union that represents the longshore workers out in California. We saw wins from the United Auto Workers and their contracts, not only with the big three automakers, but also with Mack Trucks, which impacted our industry. Labor unrest is something that is still continuing to be at the forefront. We just saw DHL workers walk off of the ramp for 12 days in Cincinnati, demanding better wages and better benefits. Do we see 2024 continuing to be the year of the labor union and the year of the worker?
Yeah, I think when we're looking at labor force conditions throughout the pandemic, that was really a time where I would have expected a lot of striking, a lot of renegotiations, just because there are so many people within this space that were essential, that are essential, and that were really being pushed to their limits. I think now we're starting to see that swing in the other direction. We're talking about just how much capacity is on the roads here. The difference is here, when there's union representation, that changes the ballgame mm-hmm. altogether. So I'm interested to see how much momentum goes into 2023, but what are your thoughts around the mindset around the labor unions or maybe employees at the moment? Do you think that there's still enough fight on the table going into the next year?
I think that corporations have a really, really big kind of elephant in the room when it comes to looking at their labor practices. And if they haven't done a deep dive in how they're treating their employees, whether they're unionized or non-unionized, they really need to be doing that. That's an opportunity that is really, really lost if you haven't done that yet. Because the way that the American worker is changing from even generationally, right? Millennials into Gen Zs into our Gen Alpha who are now entering the workforce, maybe as 18, 19, 20-year-old workers, they're coming in with a completely different mindset. And they know that they have power in numbers. And I think that if you're still holding on to this kind of outdated idea that we are the corporation, we can strong our employees into doing what we want, I think that you're doing a disservice to your company.
I think it's a great point. And then a lot of times, I think we've even seen within the industry examples being made. And mm-hmm. of course, this is an age of social media, a lot of mobilization that's able to happen in a short amount of time.
Power coming to the people, Anthony. Let's move on to number two of the year. Of course, this was potentially the biggest bankruptcy that we have seen. Convoy shutting down after 8 years. And as a venture-backed company that eventually at one point had well over a billion dollar valuation, this was shocking, I think, to a lot of folks, especially the speed at which it happened. And yeah. It was kind of a whirlwind, right? We got the notice that things were kind of amiss, and then all of a sudden it said, we're done.
Yeah. And I think it's something that not just blindsided the industry, but also blindsided those that were internal at Convoy. And it definitely showed that everyone's susceptible to this because we're even looking at the digital side. And mm-hmm. so it shows that, okay, this is the current conditions that we're in. It can happen on whether you're doing a more traditional operation or if you're running a digital front. But really, this one definitely caught a lot of people by surprise here.
Convoy, the prime example of just because you build it doesn't mean the freight will come. Mm. So let's move on to our number one story of 2023. And I don't think that this took anybody by surprise that it hit the number one spot. Yellow, of course, shutting down, closing its doors, all of its assets being put up for auction. No one covered this more deeply than our finance editor, Todd Maiden, and he's here to join us to talk about this. Todd, of course, this was a pretty dramatic saga that we saw with lawsuits involved and then now the sale of the assets. Can you give us just a pretty brief timeline of what exactly happened with the closure of Yellow?
Right. Well, this one was probably anything but abrupt. You know, Yellow had been in financial peril for the better part of two decades, and it really stemmed from some large acquisitions it made at the turn of the century that it never really was able to integrate. So I guess the last straw, so to speak, was really their inability to come to terms with their union workforce on a change of operations that would have allowed them to consolidate a couple remaining brands, terminals, and change the work rules for employees to where if you were a driver, you'd also have to work freight on the docks, that sort of stuff. So the inability to do that is really what began, or I guess was the final beginning of the end here over the last few months. And then we all know we kind of lived it day by day, but you know, you had that, and then the company running out of money said, we're not going to be able to make healthcare and pension contributions that are required. The Teamsters threatened to strike if that were to occur. Ultimately, you know, it even went to court. The Yellow was unsuccessful in getting an injunction blocking the strike, but Central States, the largest pension fund with Yellow employees, allowed for that concession, but the damage was really done. At that point, you know, I think they started that week, the last week of operation, with 40,000 shipments per day in the network. And by the end of the week, you know, they dropped about 10,000 per day down to zero by the end of the week, just on the threat of the strike. So that was the last straw, but to say that it was abrupt or you know, you couldn't see this coming is really, I think, short-sighted.
And Todd, as you said, a company that was under some definite financial stress over the last two decades here. When you look at Yellow, there was a lot of talks of maybe this was a potential sacrificial lamb to show some of the strength from a union. Do you see that as a potential talking point going forward into the upcoming year where maybe the union has a little bit more strength behind some of their words once we kind of see what happened from Yellow, or just because it was on the financial outs over the last two decades, does that take away any of the strength that we're going to see from the talking points from the unions coming up in the upcoming year?
No, I think there's certainly momentum in collective bargaining, union, across the union ranks, management. I think they certainly feel multiple negotiations this year, not just the ports, the rails, the prior year, but also within LTL and in parcel. So, I think they certainly had some wins. It was a big year for labor. I know some have said that it was potentially you can sacrifice Yellow to show UPS that you mean business, and that was a contract covering 350,000 workers. So, far more than the 22,000 Teamsters that had a Yellow. But potentially, I think, in the end, you did have at least management speaking on the behalf of their members. They didn't put this out to a vote, and they really didn't, union brass didn't really entertain this, this second change of operations. They did, but they didn't entertain it in its form, and they didn't put it to a vote to the rank and file. So I think they looked at it as, wherever that number is, but multiple billions in past wage concessions, minimizing pension requirements and deferral contributions from the company. I think they looked at it in its entirety and said, we're not bailing them out again, is specifically what they said. But so I think that's kind of how that played out. But yeah, I think union certainly had some wins this year.
Well, Todd, thank you for 6 months of great coverage of the demise of Yellow, and we will continue to do that as we see their remaining properties and then, of course, their rolling assets auctioned off into the new year. We'll talk to you in 2024.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right, Anthony, that does it for our top 10 stories of the year. Here's that refresher if you missed any of them. If you did miss any of them, go ahead and make sure you log on to freightwaves.com. You can find all of these stories in our archives. I got to know, was there anything that didn't make the list that you thought was going to be there?
I got to say that I think that it's never a shortage of top stories that's going to be happening throughout the year. I think if this list was made, maybe, I don't know, a little bit later on in the year, maybe Nikola would have made it that he got sentenced. I don't know if that was a big story or not, but I definitely see that, as you mentioned earlier at the top of this list, that there's just so many things that happened that we may have forgotten about, but at the time seemed like a top story. Are there any that come to mind for you?
I think that we pretty much nailed down all of the big ones. I would say that these are the top ones. Of course, there's those little ones that were sprinkled in here or there, and I don't know, I think this pretty much hits all of it. So thank you guys for sticking with us through 2023, and I'm sure that there will be plenty more headline-making news in 2024. To stay updated on that, make sure you stick with us on our YouTube channel. You can follow us on social media. Keep up with all of our editorial writers as well. Are you there? There-